Welcome to the What's Your Dream podcast. Today we are joined by Chrissy Myers, a dynamic entrepreneur who transformed her family's 50-year-old business, launched a successful HR startup, and authored Reluctantly Resilient. As CEO of AUI and Clarity HR, Chrissy specializes in the people side of small business, revolutionizing HR and benefits for small to medium-sized companies. Beyond her business acumen, Chrissy is a passionate advocate for small business philanthropy. Celebrating her company's milestones, she leads 50 acts of service with her employees, aiming to give away $1 million. Celebrating her company's milestone, she leads 50 acts of service with her employees, aiming to give away $1 million in 5 years with her family, Team Awesome Sauce. Chrissy's commitment to community service is reflected in programs like AUI, Gives Back, and Clarity Cares. She is also a distinguished graduate of Leadership Ohio and Torchbearers and serves as a vice chair of the ADM Board of Summit County, advocating for mental health. Join us as Chrissy shares her entrepreneurial journey, insights on philanthropy, and her passion for making a positive impact. Let's dive into the conversation with the incredible Chrissy Myers. Hello, Chrissy. How are you doing today?
I am good, Tricia. It is so nice to be here with you and to share some things with your audience.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the What's Your Dream podcast. And we will go ahead and dive right in. What is your biggest dream or aspiration?
Oh, Tricia, I have so many. And I mean, like someone who tends to have a little bit of ADD and tends to be a little hyper, I will narrow it down as best I can. So I mean, my dream and our family's dreams, we call ourselves Team Awesome Sauce. So when you have four people with three different last names, a mom who builds businesses, dad who plays team sports, you get all the fun things that come with creating a vision and a name. So we're Team Awesome Sauce. So one of the biggest goals that Team Awesome Sauce has is to be able to give away $1 million in 1 year. So working through our businesses, continuing to grow and really serving and building philanthropy, because we believe that serving the community is just as important as doing business in the community. So being able to transform the world through our time, talent, and treasure is really something that I am super passionate about. And I've been fortunate enough to have the rest of the team join me in that pursuit as well.
Amazing. So what are the kind of, where would you be giving your money, this $1 million? What is your passion around?
Yeah, so several different things. I mean, as a small business owner, a lot of it goes around workforce and encouraging the economy, encouraging entrepreneurship, fostering a spirit of entrepreneurship within individuals, especially in women and children and young families, building entrepreneurial families. The other is resilience around mental health. So knowing that if we can impact resilience and take care of our own mental wellness, and then encourage our team members, our employees to also take care of their mental wellness, we not only change our workplaces, but we also change the world. So those are two major components in workforce economic development, and then also in mental wellness. And I spend a lot of time in the mental health field. I'm a volunteer now. I serve as a chairwoman of our county mental health services board. So we oversee about $50 million of taxpayer dollars to kind of distribute mental health and addiction services throughout our county. So something that I'm really passionate about is mental wellness and family.
Very nice. And I know that you are the CEO of two businesses. You want to tell me a little bit about those?
Yes. So CEO of two companies, AUI, which turned 50 this year. And so in celebration of those 50 years, we're doing 50 acts of service to celebrate that. It's a third generation family business. I'm the third generation and the only family member currently in the business. So I'm continuing to grow. We have 20 employees and we're continuing to expand within Northeast Ohio and then the rest of the country. And then Clarity HR, once I purchased AUI from the second generation, promptly started my own startup. So it's fractional HR services for companies that don't need, don't want, or don't have the capacity to have a full-time HR person.
Very nice. Yeah, that is so, so powerful. I hear a lot of companies like that nowadays. And it's so great to be able to just kind of, it's almost like I own a digital marketing agency. So it's like hiring out for those things that you don't necessarily need a full-time person for is so great for so many corporations.
Exactly. And part of it too is empowering small business owners to make decisions around our people. So oftentimes, especially on the employee benefit side, the insurance space that we've been in for a long time, there were always those questions about, you know, you do benefits really well. Would you ever consider doing HR? Mm-hmm. And so for a long time, while I was not the primary driver of the business, I would say no, in part because I mean, making decisions around people and having an HR can sometimes be scary because you hire someone who's the expert. And what happens if you don't like them? Then it becomes this awkward conversation, and they know how to fire people a whole lot better than you probably do as a business owner. So how do you do that? So creating clarity was really important about empowering business owners to be more brave in making decisions around their people, not feeling like they have to be a hostage. Because oftentimes, especially when we're growing a small business, those first few employees that we have are so important, and we've done a significant amount of life together. So having to coach around expectations changes as the business grows, it can get a little complicated. So our job at AUI and Clarity is to provide peace of mind by simplifying those complicated things for business owners.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you love it. That's so awesome. I think my passion definitely
Oh,
lies around entrepreneurs as well. Yes, for sure. So what makes you grateful and full of joy today?
Oh, so many different things. I would say the first is, you know, serving others. I love doing the nonprofit board work service that I currently have. I sit on several different organizational boards. So being able to create ripples within the community and creating impact. Again, that helping small business owners be empowered around making decisions for their people, helping them to continue to grow because they can focus on the things that they're amazing at, and we can just kind of help them. Our team can help them see around the corners that they need to when it regards to kind of staffing and growing their organization. And then I would say one of my favorite things is spending time with Team Awesome Sauce. So, I mean, as an entrepreneur, building an entrepreneurial family, I think it's really important that it's not just the working on the business and in the business, but then also taking the time to pay attention to family. So with all the things that we have with our team purpose statement, we radiate awesome to the world, our motto, put more awesome in the sauce. I think a lot of times we get that argument of you treat your family like a business. And I go, no, we treat our businesses like family. So it's really important that we just get to spend some time together and kind of just continue to enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Very nice. Yeah. I always say the secret to living. Do you think that a lot of the reason that your business is so successful is because you are so giving and just into philanthropy?
I think that's one of the reasons why it's starting to grow more aggressively. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it's not, and you don't serve the community simply because you want something back in return. But as you continue to serve, as you continue to build relationships, I mean, it's not marketing. It's just being who you are. And people realize, you know, I like this individual. I like the company that she owns and what she stands for. So why not move our business to an organization that cares about the community like they do? So absolutely, I'm seeing over time. I mean, I would say investment in community impact is not something that you see immediate results from, but it's something that can really farm beautiful harvests in the future.
Yeah, it shows so much authenticity as well, just about you, and you know, makes people trust you before they ever even know you. So it is definitely a great quality to have. And I think as far as the second part of yours is like, I'm leaving for Chicago on Friday for a road trip with my oldest daughter. And it's like, I don't know how it's going to go. You know, like I took my two girls on a road trip last summer, the three of us. And then whenever we leave on Friday, it's going to be my oldest daughter, her boyfriend, and then myself and my boyfriend. And so it's, you know, just kind of like a little double date road trip. So it's going to be interesting. And it's like, you absolutely have to take the time off for sure. I know the most like rewarding parts of my business are the fact that I have the freedom to be able to take road trips or, you know, just any kind of trips anywhere. So I think as entrepreneurs, it's like having that out into the world of like the whole reason one of the reasons that we became entrepreneurs was to have that freedom. And so many people become entrepreneurs and they don't allow themselves to have it. They say, you know, they work all hours of the night and then all the weekends. And it's like, no, you absolutely have to take a break. And in those months that I've taken breaks, most of the time my profit has been higher than the months that I don't take them.
You're right. Balance is so important. And especially if we're talking about building a business that we might want to transition to the future. I mean, coming from a third generation family business and launching a startup, I can tell you that if my parents had an unhealthy relationship with our business, I wouldn't have wanted to be part of it. So when people start asking me, like, what's the secret to transition? You're on your third generation, you're looking at potentially, I mean, our kids are in school still, but like the potential of the fourth generation, what's that secret to success? And I say the secret to success is making sure that your business is not that child that gets all the attention. You have to make sure that you have a healthy relationship with your organization, because if you don't, your children are never going to look at it as a valuable resource. They're going to look at it as the thing that took your time away from them.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that is the reason right there why I became a business owner. Because when I graduated with my degree in web development, what do I do? Do I want to go work a corporate job, send my kids to daycare? No, not really. So I ended up with having a business, and I spent way too much time on it, but it was typically after they went to bed. So it's like, you know, I learned my lesson for sure, not having that freedom. But I feel like I made the right. All right. What are the most significant lessons you've learned throughout your life, and how have they shaped you as a person?
Oh, so I think there's several. I would say in writing the book Reluctantly Resilient, I talk about how, you know, I'm resilient, but I'm not always resilient because I wanted to be. I was resilient because I had to be. So kind of kicking and screaming through some of the challenges of life, moving from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. So that's probably one of the biggest things that shaped me, is like shifting that mindset, learning to be more flexible, not having to white knuckle my way through life. Resilience is really important to me. You know, not everybody runs into it. Some of us, again, go kicking and screaming. And for me, I dealt with a lot of that in that growth mindset moving when I had a double trauma that I faced very quickly. We had a professional hurricane with the changes in the passing of the Affordable Care Act, which kind of dramatically changed our business overnight in 2013. And at the same time, 30 days before that impact was going to be felt in our business, I lost my first husband to suicide. So didn't really walk through things because I wanted to, walked through them because I had to, became a single parent, having to figure out, you know, how do we continue to transition? How do we grow the business, which was something that was really important to my livelihood at that point in time, after our revenue was cut in half overnight because of some changes that happened in regulation. But then the other thing, as I continued to walk through that resilience journey, was learning that help is leverage, and knowing that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It is really a sign of strength. And so, I mean, 2013, when my husband passed away, I tried to be superwoman and do all of the things plus some that we would normally do as a couple for all of the different holidays, and almost wound up burning my house down as a result on Christmas Eve Eve, because I just was afraid to ask for help and ask other people to do things for me. And because I was grieving, I wasn't paying attention. And so it could have been a very costly lesson, but now it's a lesson that I write about and reflect upon and can remind others of. You know, it's really important to kind of see, are there flames ahead? Is there anything that's smoking? How do you take care of yourself and take care of your own mental wellness as you're continuing to walk through life to become more resilient? Because there are going to be times, Tricia, where things happen in our business, things happen in our family that we can't control, and how we respond and react is really important in how we can continue to grow and be successful as we move through life.
Absolutely. It sounds like your book, I mean, even probably your story, I'm sure, is in the introduction. So it already sounds amazing to me. I love reading. So definitely going to have to pick that one up for sure. What inspires you and motivates you to keep going, even when faced with challenges?
Oh, I think now it is looking at challenges as opportunities for growth. I think before, when I was more or less reluctant, and dealing with not wanting to be as resilient as I am now, it was opportunities. Challenges were something that I just had to slog through. But now I'm looking at it as a chance to learn something new. You know, I haven't experienced this before. This isn't, it may be uncomfortable, but it's only uncomfortable because I don't know what the right tools are or the right things are to move forward, but I can figure that out. So learning that everything can be determined, that you can kind of continue to rise through challenges, I think that continues to inspire me, that mindset. Finding people too that you can align yourself with, coaches to help inspire you and continue to push you forward, to continue to learn. I am inspired often by individuals teaching me new things. And so I love to learn by example. I love to see what others are doing and kind of see if there's something that I can do that's similar, or I can jump off with a different idea. So those are things that really inspire me. And then of course that community building. I mean, continuing to be in service, you are always having those opportunities to learn. So I would say, I mean, as a business owner, challenge yourself to get involved in things that may seem a little bit bigger than you think you can handle, whether it is a leadership opportunity, a coaching program, a community organization, because you have the capacity to learn from others and they have the capacity to learn from you, especially with local nonprofits, small nonprofits that could really benefit from your business experience. Oftentimes we think if I write a check, it's okay. You know, small businesses, just like small nonprofits, they sometimes don't necessarily need all your money. Sometimes they need your time and your expertise. It's far more important and valuable to them. So I continue to be inspired by individuals that look at how they can contribute and create ripples within their community as well.
Yeah. So I think that's part of just like our purpose in life is like becoming who we're meant to be, right? And in that time, hopefully we've been giving in different ways, teaching, money, just any of the, you know, knowledge that you have, and obviously your time. But it's like, I think once you kind of, it's almost like at a certain age, and it's obviously different for everyone, but it's like a switch flips and you're like, okay, now I have to give back. Now I get to give back, I should say.
Yeah.
It's like you have, it's, it adds so much value to your life whenever you see those things being able, like helping others. And so it's one of those like contribution to society is so, such a broad range of things that you can be doing. And I think people don't really think, they think, oh, well, you know, I don't have the money or I don't have this. And it's like, we do, it's like, I feel like you get back tenfold what you're ever going to give out. So if you're going to give your time, you're going to figure out a way to get a little bit of time back. I always think like, you know, you put things out into the universe and they come back to you tenfold. And it's like, obviously that's not a great reason to be doing the things, is to get value. But I mean, that's why I love coaching, is because I get to see people get to a place in their life so much quicker than I did. I started my personal development journey about 10 years ago, and I don't want people it to take them 10 years to get where I'm at.
No.
I want them to get it in 2 or 3 years. And when you can get on a coaching program, like you had mentioned, coaching is so, everyone should have a coach. I have a coach. I listen to podcasts. I read, I do everything I possibly can to be learning and growing so I can give back. And I think that that's like the thing for me, that's how I am currently giving back, right? I'm like teaching classes here locally and workshops at a very reasonable price. Because I do believe too that you should have a little bit of skin in the game. Whenever you make things free, they seem free, right? So it's like you have to have a little bit of skin in the game to be able to come to the class, and just so people know that you're serious, you know?
Yes, completely agree.
Yeah. All right. What do you hope to leave behind in the world as your legacy? And a lot of times I have a little caveat to this question. It makes it go just a little bit deeper. It's like, what do you want people to say about Chrissy at your funeral?
Oh, I want people to say that she moved from helping people to realize that they don't always have to be reluctantly resilient, that they can move into being consciously courageous. And so I hope that individuals, and I talk about a little bit in my book, the two things that small business owners need, and really, I think a lot of people just need for fun and success in life. They need to build their interpersonal effectiveness skills. So taking care of their mental wellness and really learning the best ways to communicate their needs and wants. And then the other is to find that what else, that thing that inspires them beyond making money, beyond just purpose, that keeps them moving in a positive and right direction. And for me, that's continuing to encourage people to put philanthropy within their businesses and within their families, and really fostering that spirit of how to serve and fostering that spirit of service. So I would say my hope is that people talk about being consciously courageous, and that they learned and were connected in a different way to kind of serve and care for their community. So that's my hope. I would also hope that we talk about it in our family. We have a framework that we make decisions by, but one of them is legacy of awesome. And so regardless of what happens in the world within our family, that we always make sure that whatever our decisions are, we ask that question, are we leaving a legacy of awesome? And so that's really what I would hope too, is that people are talking about the legacy of awesome that I was able to leave as a member of Team Awesome Sauce.
Yeah, I love that. I think ours is this decision going to make you the best version of yourself? That's,
yes.
And it's very similar, right? It's just a different way of putting it. And it's like, it's just, the whole idea of life is, I feel like the whole purpose, you know, if somebody doesn't have their exact purpose defined, it's like whatever makes you the best version of yourself is going to be what's going to lead you to the best version of yourself, right? To your purpose. And so even as you said, it's like, you know, coming up with that the thing that you're passionate about, it's like, if you can come up with that thing, I can guarantee you, you can make money doing that. And a lot of people think that they have to go trade their time for money at a job, when in all reality, it's like you can find that one thing that you absolutely love doing and make money. And it's like what you were talking about too. I mean, another really, really amazing way to give back is to join a board, like you said, and give them your expertise that you've had in your business. So many nonprofits out there need people like us and the listeners to be able to, you know, give that expertise and be able to have that at no charge, you know, and just be on the board of a nonprofit.
Yes, and the growth and connection that you can build when you're in board service, learning that you get too as a business owner, connect other individuals that are on that board within the community, learning additional skill sets, and really being there for that executive director or for that nonprofit leader, because they are so wrapped up in mission and purpose. I mean, they don't always know how to see around those corners. And so it's really important. And your expertise as a for-profit business owner can be super beneficial to them to help them continue to grow as well.
Awesome. Yeah. And do you have any advice on that, on the best way to find a board that you could serve on? I know you're in
Yeah,
Ohio,
I'd say
but.
I am in Ohio, but a lot of different states have different community organizations. They're called like different leadership cities. So like we have Leadership Akron, we have Leadership Ohio, we have Leadership Cleveland. So all sorts of different orgs. And there are young emerging leader organizations. And so I would say first, get involved in one of those to help you build your skill set in the coaching space of like, okay, what type of leader am I? So I would say that's the first piece in finding someone who can help mentor you. And then I would say start reaching out to some of those larger organizations within your community that are in that nonprofit space that may say, hey, we don't necessarily need a board member right now because you're brand new, but we could do a board shadow. You can sit in our board meetings and understand what's going on. You could serve on an advisory board. There's lots of different opportunities. If there's an organization that you love in your community that's a nonprofit, call them. Show up at their door, send them an email, ask, because so oftentimes nonprofits are always looking for individuals to help them, but they don't know who to ask because they're waiting for volunteers. So if you're willing to ask, I would say that's probably the best thing that you can do. Call that executive director or call someone that works for that nonprofit that you care about and say, hey, can I have coffee with you? At some point in time, I might be interested in serving on your board. Can you tell me what that looks like? And then I would say as a business owner, it's your responsibility to do a little bit of due diligence because you're going to be giving a very valuable resource in your time. So you want to make sure that that organization is going to value your time and then that you can also value that commitment, because it's wrong for you to say, I'm going to commit to this organization for 12 months when you know that you're never going to make that board meeting because you always have your own meeting that's scheduled at the same exact time and you can't move it. So it's really important that you kind of do that cadence of, you know, what is the amount of time that I'm willing to give? Don't just say yes to everything. Make sure that you say yes with the intention that you're going to complete that race.
Absolutely. Yeah. And don't just say yes to say yes.
Exactly.
It has to be in line for sure. Yeah. All right. What is a one action you take every day to get closer to your dreams?
Oh, so one of my coaches has told me that highly successful people seek discomfort for their growth in concert with their growth. And so part of it is being willing to be uncomfortable and recognizing that that is a piece of my growth. So as far as action go, I always try to work within that mindset of, you know, what is something that could make me uncomfortable that will also help me to grow. But the other that I think is so important, and this was something that was impressed upon me after I lost my husband, was that there is good in every day. Even on the days where I am grieving and I'm exhausted, and I had a 2-year-old that didn't sleep at that point in time. So all of the things that were going on, potty training, continuing to run a business, there always had to be something good in every day. So no matter what is going on, I always make sure that I practice gratitude and find at least one thing that I can be grateful for, no matter what's going on that day. Let's say I got a really big tax bill, we lost a really big client, or something difficult happened. I have a grandmother right now who is suffering from dementia. And so my good thing last week was that I got to go visit her and she knew my name and she knew who I was that day. So that was the beautiful and the good for that day, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to have those times with her. So really making sure, Tricia, that you can find one good thing every day to fuel you and continue to grow and move forward, I think is one of the most valuable things that helps me and gets me closer to my dreams every day. Practicing gratitude.
Yeah, I think absolutely. One of the things that I always say is, especially to my kids, it's like appreciation is the opposite of worry. So if you can appreciate the situation, if you can appreciate the person, if you can have gratitude for them, then that is going to really be the exact opposite of worry. So I feel like it's impossible to do both at the exact same time. So the more you can appreciate, the more you can write down and be grateful for whatever kind of situation you're in. It's like you just aren't, you're practicing the more positive route, right? And I'm not talking about like toxic positivity, right? We're not gonna just make things up, but it's like, it's definitely getting to a place of appreciation, and then you won't have the worry about anything in any of your relationships, anything like that.
You are so right. Sharon Lecter, who is the author, co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't know. Everybody doesn't always remember Sharon. She said that to worry is to pray for the things that you do not want. And so I listened to her talk about it a year ago, and she made that statement, and it immediately, I mean, it has impacted me. And I continue to think about that. Am I praying for the things that I don't want? So how can I shift from worry to wow, that's exciting. Wow, that's different. Wow, that's interesting. Wow, I've never experienced that before. But it shifts me in a good way. So yeah, I completely agree with you. That worry can just cause some problems.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of my favorite like money mindset type books. And it's funny because when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, there was a co-author to that book. And I hadn't even thought about that ever since I had read it so many years ago. But is there anything else that you definitely want our listeners to know about you, about Team Awesomeness? What is anything else?
Yeah, so I would tell them that, you know, Reluctantly Resilient is my book. It's available on Amazon, and it's also available through Audible, because I know that there's a lot of business owners that just don't have time to read right now and sit and read a physical book. So did the recording, so that makes it easy. If you'd like to follow me on LinkedIn or Instagram, it's Chrissy Meyer, CEO, and AUI Info and Clarity HR are our businesses. And I would look forward to connecting with anyone to talk about small business philanthropy, how to get started, how to build philanthropy within your business with your employees. I mean, I'm not doing those 50 acts of service for 50 years by myself. So really having a team that feels the same way and can mission forward is really important. So thank you, Tricia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on this show today. And all of the links that Chrissy mentioned will be in the show notes. So don't worry about writing those down really quickly. They are in the description. Thank you.
Thank you.